everyone. We're going to start by looking at our Google experiment. We're going to recap a little bit what we did last time. The projector is going to start turning on soon. But if you remember, the goal was to find two words that Google didn't know about. And so we're going to try to find these words again. We made up two words, and I'm going to show you exactly what I did with those words. Okay, so this is the web page. If you go all the way to the bottom, this says our Google experiment. You click here. This is a link to a web page that contains the first word that we made up, which is glamour fringe. And we're still looking for definitions. I got a few suggestions over email. I'm waiting for more if you guys can think of any definition. This is not an existing word. We made it up so we can make it mean whatever we want it to mean. Okay? The most important thing about this is that this is a word that Google cannot find. And let's try to find it. So it says, your search did not match any documents, okay? And it is on the internet, right? So this is the web page of our class, and this is a web page on the internet, and that's the link to it. So this word is on the internet, but Google does not know about it. Yeah? I misspelled it? Yeah, that's important. Glambo fridge. No. Like that? Okay, I'm going to copy and paste it just to make sure. It would be easier if we had a definition for it. So we don't... The Google still doesn't know about it. It makes suggestions, but it doesn't know about it. Okay. The second word that we made up is on a web page that is nothing links on the internet links to it. So I can't just show you a link from our web page, but I know the link, I know the address, the URL of the web page. So I'm gonna just type it here. It's gword2. And so this is our second word. I'm gonna copy and paste it on to Google. And Google does not know about this one either. The different thing about this web page is that you have to know the URL to it. Okay, so if you want to write down the URL. And also, this page contains a link to our website. So the point is that it's not totally disconnected from the internet. It's a web page that is connected to the internet, but there's a link from it to our web page. All right? So that's our experiment. We're going to keep looking for, we're going to keep Googling these words. Feel free to Google them yourself. And let me know what happens. And we're going to, so these, again, these two words are on the internet. All right? We'll see if anything changes. Okay. Second thing I wanted to do was ask if anybody had any questions about the homework. Yeah.
Number six, the relay circuit, says it prevents the name of the logic gate.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay, so you have to fill out the truth table, and then for C it says prevent the name of this logic gate. According to the way it works, you're going to fill out this truth table, and it's going to look like maybe something familiar. Just name it according to what it's doing. Try to find a name that is reflects its functionality. Okay? Don't think too much about it. It doesn't have to be. It can be, you know, people name it all kinds of things, but it should be connected to its functionality if possible. don't spend too much time. C is not going to have a lot of points for it. Okay? Okay. Any other questions? Yeah. For this one, for example, it's just for A, just fill out the truth table. You don't really have to show anything. You can explain maybe for false and false. You can say, okay, the first switch is closed or open, the second switch is closed or open, and that means that C is going to be true or false. Yeah. You can just put the answer for that. Oh, thanks.
I have that. The restricted line to
okay, I'll email. Okay. All right, so for this one, the most work maybe would be, again, just to explain for us to see that you guys understood how this thing works. Okay? So, yeah. Anything else? You don't have to color it or anything. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay, so A, just imagine that, so when A is false, there's no electricity. When A is true, there is electricity through the wire that is connected to A. Anything else? Any other problem that you have? Yeah.
Power source? It doesn't just have power, does it? It's just your hand.
Power source means there's always electricity flowing through this wire.
Just that one.
Just this wire. If A is true, also this wire. So when A is going to be true, there's going to be electricity through this wire.
So same with B?
Same with B. But the power source is always true. Or on. Yeah.
Is the switch represent the state, but the power source is always on?
Can you repeat that?
The switches are both open.
They just show I had to draw something. So the fact that they're open in that picture doesn't mean that they're necessarily open. If they're open or closed is dependent on if there's electricity through the relay, through the coils. So remember the way the relay works? If there's electricity through this wire, this becomes a magnet and attracts this little thin wire, so it opens the switch. So it's if this is open or closed is dependent on whether there's electricity through the coil or not. This picture is just a convention to how would I draw a switch otherwise, right? Don't think of those switches as open. Think of A and B as being false, 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 true, true, false, or true, true. For each situation, that's going to change. Any other questions or other problems? Yeah.
Can I see number one real quick? Is that the one you have to find two?
Number one?
Yeah. Number two.
Yeah.
So we just go to store by store.
Yeah, or around the house. It has to be two products from the same company. So yeah. What's that? An example of a brand? I don't know. I buy Stop and Shop, store brand stuff. They should have the same group of five digits. The first group of five digits should be the same. Okay? Anything else? Any questions you might have, you can email me or the TAs. Try to answer them. What was the other question? Didn't you have another question? No. All right. Okay, are we all cool with homework? Okay. So today we're going to try to finish binary arithmetic. And let's start with this question. Last time we learned how to convert between decimal and binary, binary to decimal. And this is a question about that. So the question is, what is 306 in binary? A, 1000110100. B, 10011000. C, 10111000. D, 10011000. And E, 10000011. Okay, stopping at 3 minutes. Stopping. Okay, great. All right, so everybody, most of you got the right answer. Okay. So I'm not going to go over this right now. I'm going to skip that. So here's what I want to do next. I'm going to do a magic trick. So I will get out of the room, and you all have to come up with a number between 0 and 31. Just, you know, decide together about this number, and I will guess it asking 5 questions. And if one of you wants to come with me, so to make sure that I don't sneak at the door, you can feel free. Okay, so you guys have maybe 30 seconds or something like that. Half right either. All right? Yeah. Integer. Yeah. Good point.
All right. Yeah. It's okay. It's a reach.
yes, no questions, and you guys have to tell me yes or no. Okay? Is the number in that table?
No.
Is the number in that table?
Yes.
Is the number in that table?
Yes.
What about this one?
No.
What about this one? Now that we know how to make a binary number out of a decimal number and vice versa, let's try to add them up and subtract them and try to do operations with them. And we're going to start with addition. And I want to make the analogy of an odometer. So this is a normal odometer. And if that's the number of miles you've ever, you rode your car for that long. If you add another mile, that's what your odometer will look like. And this is after another mile, and so on. What if that's the number of miles you've gone? How is that going to change? Well, you can't really add. You would add one, right? So the last digit is not going to be 10. It's going to be 0 carry the 1, right? And then over the next one, it's going to be 0 carry the 1 again. And it's going to carry all the way to 8, where you can actually add 1. So after you go a mile, it's going to look like this, right? And then, starting with 1, and so on. Now, the binary odometer works exactly the same way. If you add 1 mile, that's what's going to happen. If you add another mile, notice that when you add 1 to 1, you can't make a 2 because binary is only zeros and ones. So the last digit, the 1 plus 1, is going to be 0 carry the 1 automatically. So you either can do this 0 plus 1 or you have to do 1 plus 1 will be 0 carry the 1. So, and then, and so on, right? So if you get to this number, what do you think is going to happen? What's going to be the next one? Exactly. So the last 3 digits are going to be zeros, and then the first 0 is going to become a 1. Okay? So that's what's happening with the odometer. Now, what about subtraction? Subtraction is a little trickier, right? So, okay, with odometers, if you go backwards, the older cars, it's actually subtracting miles. If you're going backwards for 1 mile, which is kind of weird, it will probably subtract a mile. So in this case, If it's a normal odometer, it just subtracts one, and so on. So what happens here? With normal numbers, if you have a zero and you have to subtract one, but you can't, you usually borrow, right? So you have, you can't do the zero minus one, so you have to, I'm not sure what's it. Okay, you have to borrow from the eight, and then the eight minus one will be a seven, and then the 80 minus 10, basically, is gonna be, I'm not sure. Basically, that's what's going to happen. I'm having trouble with my computer. So the when you borrow, the next digit becomes, you subtract one from the next digit, and then this one is basically almost like 10 minus 1 becomes a 9. We're going to see this in with binary. So if you have this situation, what's going to happen is you have to borrow all the way to the first digit where you can borrow from. So you're going to, in this case, you're going to have to borrow all the way to the 8, and the 8 will become a 7, and then you're going to have basically 1,000 minus 1 is going to be 999, which is this. Okay, so in binary, it's the same thing. This is pretty easy, right? It's just going to be, we can subtract 1 from this number, and it's just going to be that number, right? Oops. Okay. So, and then when we get to that number, we subtract 1, and we have to go all the way. We have to go all the way to the first one, to the rightmost one, to borrow. That's going to become a zero, and then the other ones are going to become ones. And then we continue the same process. So we're going to recap a little bit. Decimal addition, normal addition, addition with normal numbers. You just go from left, from right to left, and you. So if you can do the, if you know 7 plus 1 is going to be a digit, that's going to be 8. If you have a carry, it's going to carry over the next digit, and that's, you're just going to have to add the carry and the two digits together, and so on. But for binary addition, there are some rules. So this is going to be, it's going to be a little different. Because you don't have twos and threes and fours all the way to nine. You just have zeros and ones. And so the rules are basically 0 plus 0 plus 0 is 0. 0 plus 0 plus 1 is 1. If you have 0 plus 1 plus 1, that's not going to be 2. It's going to be 0 carry the 1. And then 1 plus 1 plus 1 is going to be 1 carry the 1. Okay? And you can check, always check by converting the numbers to decimal and doing the same operation with normal numbers. So let's take this example. We have the first digit. We have to use the rule 0 plus 1 plus 1 because we have no carry, but we have 1 plus 1. And so that's going to give us a 0 carry the 1, which is going to look like that. Now, the next one is going to be also 0 plus 1 plus 1. We have a carry, and then we have a 0 and a 1. So that's going to be a 0 carry the 1 again. Now we have 1 plus 1 plus 1. So we're going to apply the last rule. And that's going to give us 1 carry the 1, and so on. We have a 1 plus 1 again. That's going to be 1 carry the 1. Now we have the 0 carry the 1, and so on. And we can work that whole thing. Okay, any questions? Yeah, let's try to do another example. What about this one? We're going to have a 1 there. What's going to become 1 plus 1? 0 carry the 1, then we're going to have 1. Now we have no carries, and both digits are 0. What about this one? This is going to be also 0 carry the 1. 1 carry the 1, 0 carry the 1, 0 carry the 1. Okay? And if you have a carry at the end, you just write it down. All right? So you can check by converting it to decimal. The first number is actually 115 if you convert it to decimal. The second number is 178. And if you add them together, it's going to be 293. And you can actually check that the result is 293 in binary. So let's do this one. The question is, what is 10011011 plus 10111100? And notice that everything's aligned to the right. Just like with normal numbers, you would, if you have a number that's way longer than the second number, you're going to have to align everything to the right. The options are A, 10110111, B, 11001011, C, 1 followed by 7 zeros, D, 11101011, and E, 10100011. Oh, I stopped it? Sorry. I shouldn't touch the computer while it's... Stop at 1 minute. Five more seconds. Stopping. Okay, good. That was the right answer. Okay. So now going back to subtraction, in decimal, usually it involves borrowing. If you subtract two digits and you don't have enough, you have to go to the next digit to the left and borrow. So in this case, you have 1 minus 8, which you don't have enough to do that. So you're going to have to go to the next digit to the left, to the second digit to the left, and borrow from it. So this is what it's going to look like. You're going to borrow from it. So the 2 becomes a 1, and then you have a 20 minus 10 is going to be 10. So you have a little 1 there, which means that now you can do 11 minus 8 is 3. Now the second digit is going to be a 1 minus 1, which is 0, and then the 3 is a 303. So borrowing is like, in decimal, borrowing is replacing a higher denomination with lower ones. So remember, last time we had the binary bills or whatever. This is just binary numbers. And we said that we can make any number in decimal by only using powers of 2. So I'm going to show you how that works. This number here, if I want to make it out of money, I would have I don't have any one, whatever, binary dollars in this number, because the last digit to the first digit to the right is 0, so I don't have any ones. I don't have any 2s. I will have a 4. I do not have any 8s, but I have a 16. So that's my number. Okay? If something costs, let's say, this amount of dollars, how do I do it if I need to subtract 1? Well, I'll just have to take the 4 and replace, get rid of the 4, but get all the smaller ones, right? So I'm going to need, so what is this going to be? I'm going to need, instead of the 4, I'm going to have a 3, which I can make out of 1 and 2. So I replace the 4 with these. And I had 20 before, and now I have 19. Okay? So that's how it works. And so in this case, as I said before, I'm going to have a 1, which is this one, a 2, and then the 16 that I had before. So let's take this example. We also go from, it's the same thing, only the rules with 9s and 8s and 7s are changed to just 0s and 1s. So that we can do the first digit, that's going to be 1 minus 0 is going to be 1. Now we have a 0 minus 1, and we cannot do it. And we have to borrow from the next digit to the left. And so that zero, that 1 is going to become a 0. There's no other possibility. 1 minus 0 is 0. And then we're going to be able to have a 1, 0 now. 1, 0 minus 1. What is 1, 0 minus 1? It's 1, right? 1, 0 is actually 2 in decimal. So 2 minus 1 is 1. Okay, good. Now we have 0 minus 0. We can do that. That's going to be a 0. 0 minus 0 is 0. We have, again, 0 minus 1. So we're going to borrow again. The 1 is going to become a 0. And then we're going to have a 1, 0 minus 1, which is going to be a 1. And now we again have 1, 0 minus 1. And we can't borrow from the 0 because it's a 0. So we're going to go all the way to the left to the first one that we find. And the 1, 0, 0, 0 is going to become a 0, 1, 1. We get a 1, 0 from borrowing. So the 1, 0 minus 1 is going to be 1. And then we have 0, 1, 1, right? So 1, this 1 minus 0 is going to be this 1 minus, where am I? Okay, this, I see it better here. So this 1 minus 0 is going to be a 1. And then this 1 minus 0 is going to be a 0. And then this 0 minus 0 is going to be a 0. So that's going to be our result. And again, we can check through conversion to decimal. If you ever have problems like this in the homework or the exam, I will ask you to show carries for addition and borrows for subtraction, because it's very easy to just convert and subtract decimal numbers. So that's a way for me to see that, and for us to see that you guys understood that. Okay? Any questions about this? It's a little confusing, but we'll do more examples. Let's do another one. In this case, we're going to start with 1 minus 1, which is going to be 0. 1 minus 0 is going to be 1. And then we have a 0 minus 1. Again, we're going to borrow from the next digit. It's going to become a 0. 1, 0 minus 1 is going to be a 1. And then we have, again, 0 minus 1, which is going to be borrowing all the way to the left to the first one that we encounter. And the 1, 0, 0, 0 is going to become a 0, 1, 1, 1. So now we have 1 minus, 1 0 minus 1 is 1, 1 minus 1 is 0, 1 minus 0 is 1, 1 minus 1 is 0, and 0. Okay? Let's do this one. So the question is, what is 1 0 1 0 0 1 1 0 minus 1 1 0 1 1? And the options are A, 1, 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, 1, 1. B, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0, 1, 1, 1. C, 1, 0, 0, 1, 0, 1, 1. D, 1, 0, 4, 1, 0, 1. 1, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0, 1, 1. stuff at 2:30. Stopping. Okay. The majority answer was the right. Let's see. Let's see if it was the right answer. Okay, so 0 minus 1, can't do that e to the power. Cross this off, this becomes a 0, and the 1 gets transferred here. And I have 1, 0 minus 1 is 1. But I have again 0 minus 1, can't do that. This 1 becomes a 0, now I have 1, 0 minus 1 becomes a 1. 0 minus 0 becomes a 0. Here, I need to bar all the way to the next one to the left, the first one to the left. It's going to be 0 and it's going to become 1. 1, 0 minus 1 is 1. 1 minus 1 is 0. 0, 0. Okay? Any questions? Yeah.
How does 1, 0 minus 1 equals 1?
Good question. So 1, 0, minus 1. Well, there's a few ways to answer that. One easy way would be, what is this number in binary? So remember, when we convert from decimal to binary, you write a 1 and a 2. And a 4, 8, but we don't have that many digits. So this is going to be, what number is this? This is going to be 2 times 1 plus 0 times 1. Well, 1 times, yeah, right? And that is
2.
So 2 minus 1 is 1. Another way to answer this is maybe say something like 1 plus 1. What is that? Yeah, but if you do the addition, the binary addition, 0 plus, see, 1 plus 1 is 0 carry the 1. Yeah.
I'm sort of confused on the fourth thing. Yeah, the fourth digit, exactly. But I thought we should use 1 minus 1 equals 0.
Well, we had 0 minus 1 here.
Right.
And so when we borrowed, we got 1, 0 here. So remember how in normal decimal you have 291 minus 3. 1 minus 3 you have to borrow. This becomes 9 minus 1, 8. And then you get here, you get an 11. Because basically 90 minus 10 is 80. And 90 minus 80 is 10. So this is going to be 11 minus 3. It's the same one, yeah.
But why isn't the one right next to that, isn't that a 1, 0, 2, and it comes out 0 rather than 1?
This one?
Yeah.
Okay. So here when we borrowed, this is why it's confusing. Because we didn't just borrow from the first digit, we borrowed all the way to the 1. When we cross this off, we actually say, we cross it off and we subtract 1 from it. So 1, 0, we said 1, 0 minus 1 is 1 or 0, 1. So this 1, 0 becomes 0, 1, okay? Because we subtracted 1 from it, this we can carry this 1 here, and then we can do 1, 0 minus 1 is 1. But this digit has become 1, it's not 0 anymore. And then, so we have 1 minus 1 is 0. Well, does anybody, do you think it would be helpful? Yeah, go ahead.
So then it's like, there's 2 zeros.
Two zero and then a one, or two zeros and then a one.
The one on the right. I mean, I'm just kidding. It's on the left. Like you're drawing.
I see. So you're having something like this.
I'm so confused. Yeah.
Then you're gonna have 0, 1, 1.
Okay.
So remember.
Zeros are gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can
I erase this so we can just talk?
No.
Oh, here.
Follow that.
Yeah. not this situation. Because this situation here is this situation. Because here, this zero was needed to borrow. Okay, the digit that needs to borrow, you're gonna always look at, to the left of that. You're not gonna include it.
Okay, and then to your right of that, the lower one, to the one, the lower, the one that she made up. So to the right, all the way, right, all the way, like the imaginary one that's not there.
Oh, what one?
That one. And that, so that would just be 1, 0. Like you would have, you would borrow. So if it were a zero, you would have borrowed one.
Let's do another example. Why don't you give me an example and I'll show you. Make up an example that you think you would be confused about and I can show you how it works.
Like 1, 0, 0, 0, 1.
Okay.
And then 1.
Minus 1, 1. Okay, so here's another very interesting idea. Okay, so as you all see, you know, we can maybe live with addition, but subtraction is kind of annoying. And it's always confusing, and we would rather skip it, if we can. And here's something that happens in the computer that is very annoying if you don't intend it to happen, but it can be used in a very helpful way. And it's called overflow. So in the, as we talked before, in the computer, usually, let's assume that information is stored on in with 8 bits, okay? But let's assume for a second that it's stored on 4 bits, okay? So, or if you have an odometer that only has 4 spots, 4 digits, what's gonna happen when you're, that's the number of miles that it's showing? What if you go an extra mile? Go ahead. It'll go back to zero, right? And does that actually mean that you just never traveled anything? No, it doesn't. It's just the way it works. It doesn't. It completely discards the most significant digit. Okay? And that's exactly what happens in the computer too. If numbers are, so let's stay with the decimal for a second. If you have traveled 8,744 miles and you travel an extra 6,592 miles, you've actually traveled 15,000-something miles, but it's actually only going to show you the last four digits of it, right? So that's happening with the if you had an odometer like that, it's the same thing happens in the computer. So if you add two numbers and your result has a one, say you have 8-bit numbers, which sometimes is how information is represented in the computer, if you add them up and there's a one as a most significant number, as a digit or bit, so the most leftmost digit, the computer discards it. And so you get stuff like, I don't know, whatever these numbers are, the math doesn't work, right? So sometimes it's a bug and you don't know why. Why do I add two positive numbers and I get a negative number? And it's annoying when you don't control it or if you do it by mistake, but we're going to see a very interesting use of it, which helps us to skip subtraction, basically, if we need to. So we're going to use this idea of negation, the idea that instead of subtracting two numbers, we can add the first number to the negative of the second number. So in algebra, in normal algebra, if you have the additive inverse is just of a number x is a number y such that the two numbers added together give you zero. So you know y is minus x. That's the negative of a number, or the additive inverse if you want to be very precise with your terms. So let's see how this works. If you add up 83 and 173, you get 256. In binary, if you do that, you're going to get a 1 and 8 zeros. And let's assume that you represent those numbers, you use 8 bits to represent these numbers. And both 83 and 173 fit in the 8 bits. You don't need more than 8 bits. But their sum is going to be 9 bits. It's going to be 1 and a whole bunch of zeros. And what the computer does, it's actually saving it's basically discarding the leftmost digit, and it's going to give you zero. And 83 plus 173 is not zero. We all know that. Okay. So, but since that's how it's represented in the computer, we can interpret 101, which is so the 173, the binary number for 173, can either be 173, or it can be minus 83, because added with 83 gives you 0. Okay? So remember, x plus minus x is 0. So we have two ways to look at it. So now we have made minus 83. So if we want to have something like 100 minus 83, you don't have to subtract. We can just add whatever the binary representation of minus 83 is, which is the same as 173. So, but now we have to find, okay, given a number, given 83, how do we find minus 83? Given the, you know, maybe it's easy for us to find the binary of 83. We just convert it. How do we find minus 83? And this is just showing, again, the previous numbers, and I'm going to skip through it. One way we could do it is we can take 0, which is 256, the same thing, and subtract 83 from it, which is still, we still have to do subtraction, which we don't want to do. And see that if we subtract this, which is 83, from 0, from 256, we get this number, and you can check by doing the addition. It's the same thing. But there's something called the 2's complement. And the 2's complement of a number is just of a binary number, it's just the binary representation of its negative. And there's a very easy way to find the 2's complement of a number. So the way you do that is by taking the binary representation, flipping all the bits, the zeros become ones and the ones become zeros, and then you add one to it. And we're going to see how that works. So we're going to take 82. It's for a change. And you have the, on to the right, you have the representation of 82, that's the binary number. We said that the first step is to flip all the bits. So as you can see, the first bit was 0, it becomes 1. The second bit was 1, it becomes 0, and so on. We just flip the bits around. And not doesn't require too much thinking. And then the second step is that you just add 1 to that. And so we're just going to have to add 1 to a binary number, which is better to do, easier to do than subtraction. So adding them up gives us this number. And the number that we get after step 2, the blue one, is the 2's complement of 82, which is the red one. And we can, this is an 8-bit number, so we can interpret it either as a positive number by just converting it to a decimal, or we can interpret it as minus 82, as we saw before. Okay? So let's see if what happens if we add them together. We can check that by just adding them together. What should that give us? 0, but we're adding 2 numbers. How's that? What is that going to look like? It's going to be 0, 1 followed by 8 zeros, right? And the computer discards the leftmost one, and it's just, it's going to be left with zeros. So basically, 82 plus minus 82 is going to give us 0. It's not 0, but it's in the computer, the computer sees it as 0. And so now we, to subtract one number from the other, we just have to find the 2's complement of the second number, which is 2 steps to do. Then we have to add the first number to the 2's complement of the second number, and we get the result for the subtraction. Okay? So, oh. All right, so now we're going to make a gate that adds 2 bits. How can we make this gate? And that picture is, there's some compatibility issues, but it's just a gate, and it has 2 inputs, which are the 2 bits that we're going to add. We're going to add A and B. And how many bits of output do we need? Why do we need 2 bits of output? Why isn't just 1 enough? Is 1 enough? What's going to happen? What's the sum of 0 and 1? The sum is 1 and the carry is 0. So the sum is going to be true and the carry is going to be false. What about if A is true and B is false? We're going to have, what's the sum of that? 1 again. So that's going to be the same thing, true and false. What if A is true and B is true? S is 0, C is 1. Very good. Because we have 1 plus 1 is 0, carry the 1. Okay, so now let's try to find the formula for S. What's the formula for S going to be? Let's start with the formula for C. What's C as a function of A and B? We have the output. So we can find the output as a function of the input. So we know how to build this gate. What's inside this gate? Okay? That's the question that we're trying to answer. What is the formula for C? Can anybody figure that out? Somebody else? Yeah. A and B, very good. Okay. So C is be. So what's going to happen here? There's going to be an AND gate. I put it in the wrong spot. And A is going to go into it. B is going to go into it. And the output is going to be C. What about S? Nobody? Somebody else, please? Go ahead. Very good. A not B, or B and not A, according to the truth table to formula. Okay, so then we're going to have a not for A and a not for B. We're going to have two ands and an or. And let's see, A, not A, and B are going to go through an and. And not B and A are going to go through an and the result is going to be OR together, and that's going to be our S. And now we know how many ANDs, NOTs, and ORs we need to make the adder, half adder gate. We need so 1, 2, 3 ANDs. One OR. And two knots. And the prettier picture is that. That's what the that's what our gate will look like. So we have two ends, three ends, two knots, and one OR. Okay. So now that we did addition and subtraction, we can do multiplication. And this might look like a really hairy thing, but it's actually very easy, because we only have zeros and ones, and multiplication with zeros and ones is very simple. So the multiplication table, you have it up there in the upper left corner. 0 times 0 is 0, and 1 times 1 is 1, and 0 times anything is 0. So it's all going to be just copy, shift, and add. If we have this number times this number, remember, we go again from right to left, and we just copy. If the second number has a 1, we're going to copy the first number. If the second number has a 0, we're just going to shift it over. So we're just going to, for the first, this is for the first, the rightmost digit of the second number has a 1, so we're just going to copy the first number. The next digit is a 1, we're going to copy the first number again. The next two we're going to skip because they're 0, 0. So we're just copying the first number every time there's a 1, and we align it to the digit that we multiply it by. And then we just add it up. And that's what we're going to get. Okay? It's you're not going to have to do this, but this is just to show you that we can actually do it. And so we can make all kinds of other operations. We can have division. We can have, bitwise, ands and ors. So, we have two numbers that are 10 bits. We can do ors by bits and ands by bits and so on. And so all these have circuits in the processor of your computer because they are used by they are used by software and so on. And so there's also other number schemes. There's not just the binary number and decimal number. You can define any base you want. And there are conversions between. If you have base 3, you're not going to have powers of 2, you're going to have powers of 3. And there's also bases that are higher than 10. You can have base 16, which actually your clicker ID is a number in base 16, which means that you don't have just the digits between 0 and 9. You have the 10th digit, which is A. You have the 11th digits, which is B, and so on up to E. And so that's a number of base 16. And so on. And so we can now move on to, so up to this point, we had gates that had one input, or a few inputs and a few outputs, but it always does the same thing. No matter what you give it on to the input, it's always going to give you the same outputs. But what if we wanted to make something that is dependent on time, right? What if it matters when, what if it matters what happened in the past, okay? And so, let's see, a few examples are, right now we want to make a gate where the output depends on not just the current input, but also the previous history of inputs. And these are, a lot of things in the real world are like this. For example, traffic lights. If a light is green and it's been green for, let's say, 3 minutes, it's going to go to yellow and then to red. And it's going to be red for 1 minute or two, depending on the traffic and so on. You have a lock, combination locks, which let's say you have a combination lock that's 3 digits. If you set it to, let's say your code is 123. If you set it to 3, it depends on whether or not it opens, depends on whether the previous two were 1 and 2. If you set it to 3 and your previous one was 4, it's not going to open. If the previous ones were 1 and 2, it's going to open. So it's the combination lock doesn't just take the current input, it also takes all the histories. Pens are like that. If it's open and you click it, it's going to be closed. If it's closed and you click it, it's going to be open. Then you have Christmas lights are that way. If you have a certain pattern that the way the Christmas lights blink, depends on, if this light blinks 3 times, and maybe if it was blinking 1 time before, and so on. So these are called state machines. They're called state machines because state matters. What happened in the past creates the state, and the output is going to be dependent on the state. And so let's talk about the ballpoint pen. It has 2 states. It can be extended or retracted. The input is if you click the pen button, so clicking it triggers something to happen, and the output is whether the pen is retracted or not. So if we can call this RBP gate, which takes as input whether we click it or not, and the output will be whether it's retracted or extended. And so if we take the output and we connect it to the input, that's going to be very helpful, because if we click it, just whether or not we have clicked it doesn't give us enough information to infer what state it's going to be. We also need, okay, but what was the output last time? What was this, what was it in? Was it extended last time or was it retracted? And so if it's extended, we'll need that as input too, because that together with a click will create the new state. And so if we have clicked it and the previous one was extended, now it's going to be retracted, and so on. Another state machine is a combination lock, which the states are the last digits dialed, and the input is just dialing a number. What number are you dialing right now? And the output is, either opening the lock, whether that's true or false. It can be false. That means that the lock is not going to open, and it can be true, which means that the lock will open. And we can summarize that by making all these. So I'm showing by a blue circle the state that the combination lock is in. And you can see that the state kind of encodes the history, what happened before. So let's say we start with it locked. If we dial 0, let's say the code is 052. If you dial 0, it's going to go into the state of first digit right. You're on the right path. If you dial 5, when you're in the first digit was correct, then you have 2 digits that are correct. And then if the second digit is right, then dialing 2 will bring it into unlocked. Notice that in every single state, dialing anything but the digit that is required brings it back into locked, and you have to start over again. So that's how it works. So in, these dates help just to remember the history that happened. Another idea is that the traffic lights, right? So you have, how many states do you have? Well, the lights can be, I guess I'm showing two perpendicular roads. And the, you know, the states that are mostly used are whether we're seeing, let's say what we're driving and we're seeing green and the other people have red, or we are driving and seeing red and the other people see green. But there's also the yellow state, right? When we're seeing green and the other people see red, when it switches to, it doesn't switch directly, it wouldn't be very smooth, but in order for the transition to be smooth, you need yellow. And so to go from the state that is up to the state that is down, you have to go through the intermediate state to the right, and then to go back, you need an intermediate state that is to the left. So those are your four states, and this is how you go between these states. And you know, the little processors that control the traffic lights have time set, and they know how to go between all these states. Okay, and to next time, we're going to start talking about Christmas lights. I still have a few clicker questions that we can do. Okay, so let's do this one. This should be... So the question is, which formula works for this circuit? And the options are A, light equals true, B, light equals false, C, light equals X, D, light equals not X. Stop at one. Okay. Stopping. All right. The right answer got the majority votes. Good. Let's try this one. The question is, which logic diagram is Z equals X and not Y? So I guess I should probably describe it. A, it's a NOT gate with input Y and output Z. B is an AND gate with inputs X and Y and output Z. C, an AND gate with inputs X and Y, and the output of the AND gate is the input of the NOT gate. The output of the NOT gate is C. And D, there's a Y goes into a NOT gate, and X and the output of the NOT gate go into an AND gate, and Z is the output of the AND gate. I'm going to stop at 1 again. Stopping. Yes. Good answer. I didn't even think about it. Okay. Next question. Okay, this is a little bit like the homework. So if you have any questions about it, there's a barcode, and the question is, what is a missing digit? And the barcode is 717 blank 519 blank 725, and then there's a zero. And the blanks are the same digit. So what are the missing digits? A, 0 or 5, B, 1 or 6, C, 2 or 7, D, 3 or 8, E, 4 or 9. stopping at 3? Stopping. All right. Majority answer is the right answer again. So what's cool about this example? What did you get? Did you get 3 or 8?
3.
Okay. Here's a cool thing. Odd times 3 is 120. So basically 4 plus 2x needs to be a multiple of 10. Okay? So 3 works. What about 8? Does 8 work? Yeah. So it's both 3 and 8 work. Which I think is cool. The barcode actually that this comes from had an 8 and not a 3 as a missing digit. Okay, let's try. I think this is the last one, right? Yeah. This is the what if gate. And here's how it works. Inside of it, the way it works is if x or y, then x and y. Else, not x and y. What is the output of this gate if x is false and b is true? What's that? B, right, sorry. Yes. If x is false and y is true. A and B false, C true, D not. Okay, I'm stopping at 2. Stopping. Why did somebody click E? There's an E. All right. That's weird. Okay, so it's between true and false. That's pretty tight. Let's see. The majority answer got the right answer. And this is why. How does if work, right? If works, so we have an if expression. Can you let me finish? I'm gonna try to be brief. If we have if expression, if the expression is true, then we output whatever this expression is. Else we output this. So x is false and y is true, right? What is this expression going to be?